scriptures. It is a different viewpoint, different direction. Amen. So stay with me. Amen. You're going to stay with me? Going to stay awake with me tonight? I know it's Wednesday. We've been working, but hey, we're here. Let's do this. Amen. Let's give God our best tonight. Acts chapter 9, starting with verse 3. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? Amen. How many in your life you've asked God that question? God, what do you want me to do? Amen. My title is, What Does the Mirror Say About You? What does the mirror say about you? Just stick with me for a little bit tonight. Amen. In studying the tabernacle in the wilderness, you will see the furniture that is laid out in the outer court. The first thing you come to is the gate, and the first piece of furniture that you will see when you come into the gate is the altar. But once you pass that altar, there is the brazen laver, the place of washing. This is the vessel that was made out of pure bronze when you study it. What it really looked like, no one can really truly say because there is no pictures, obviously, of that bronze laver. But it is rumored from generation to generation that it was something beautiful to behold. It was something that was stunning when you looked upon it. It wasn't just a wash basin that just stood there full of water, but it was designed meticulously and perfectly. Every detail, every curve, and every swirl of this design was done inch by inch with a chisel and with a hammer. Just time-stakingly imagine how long that would take, just going around this whole thing, just little hammer there, little hammer here, and wipe it off, polish it a little bit to see how it looked, and just consuming time, but the detail that had to go into it. Every detail, every curve. This vessel, a type and shadow of baptism for us today, it was something amazing to see. The priest, after leaving the altar of sacrifice, the place of repentance when you study it, would come and wash at this laver. There's much that can be said about the importance of washing when you come to this place. But what I want to point out tonight is not so much the washing, but the details of the inside of the laver. As beautiful as the outside was and the details and the curves, as beautiful as all the designs were and as artistry, the curves that were there, the inside was kind of plain when you look at it. It was nothing like the outside of the laver. The inside was very simple. It was very simply constructed. The Bible says that it was just made up of just plain mirrors, just bronze mirrors that was collected from the women of Israel and brought it in, and they just made it smooth and a reflection, just so when you look into it, you could see a perfect reflection. The Bible said the mirrors are from the women of Israel, so when the priests would come and they would wash, they would gladly see the reflection of who they were. Amen? They could see what they looked like standing there at the water. At this point in time, there were no gimmicks, there were no tricks, there was no pretending who they were or what they looked like because they just came from the sacrifice. At this point in time, they weren't clean. They didn't look very nice. They had just got through sacrificing the animals. They were covered in blood from their head to their feet. It was a mess that they were in, and they were now standing there looking at their reflection, knowing that I am not perfect, knowing that I am dirty. They can see their reflection and know I have to wash. I have to do something to clean myself. I can't go no further into the tabernacle until I am washed of the things that are on me. It was a reality check for them to look in these mirrors. How great an example of our lives that after we have repented, we've come to the water and we've asked for forgiveness, and now that we stand at the waters of baptism, we reflect on our lives like these priests of what we look like. And we reflect in our lives on what we've done and what we've been forgiven of, and we ask God to wash our sins away with the water. How great an example it is for us. Do you remember when you were washed in your life? Do you remember what it was when you were baptized in your life? How exciting it was, that feeling. I know what it was like at the age of 8 to get the Holy Ghost and just to feel electrified when I stood up. But even more when I went to the baptismal tank, and we didn't have heaters back then. It was just cold. And we just got into the water, and all I could just feel was just shivering and the tingling sensation of the water. And then finally, when he spoke them words over me in Jesus' name and put me under, what it felt like to come out of that water. His words can't explain it until you experience it for yourself. Amen. If you haven't, you got to do it. Don't leave this place until it happens. But the Bible is the most effective mirror that we can have in our life when you look at it. We can have a lot of things we can look at, but the Bible is the most important thing that we can reflect upon. Most times we don't know something is wrong until we look in the mirror. Most times, just think about it. You walk around in your house, you think everything's fine. You wake up in the morning, and especially as a teenager, just think back, and you go and look in the mirror, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, and you got this huge pimple on your face. You didn't realize anything was wrong until you looked in the mirror. Or you didn't realize how old you were getting until you looked in the mirror and you were shocked to see, man, where did the hair go? Just hit you. I experienced that daily. Or you experienced just maybe you got a full head of hair of gray. And you're like, man, where did the gray come from? But it's a reality check. You don't really realize anything is wrong until you look in the mirror and you see it for yourself. You could say we are blind to our true self because we never look into the mirror. We're therefore blind to the problem of sin and unrighteousness because we never stopped and looked. So we never stopped at the Bible. We never truly looked at the reflection of ourselves in the Word, so we're blind to what we really look like. We think we look good. We think we got it all going on. We think we're right in what we're doing, but really we're not who we're supposed to be. We've got some stink on us a little bit because we haven't really looked in the mirror lately. Amen? Everybody's looked in the mirror today, right? We all look pretty in this place. You looked on the mirror on the outside. Have you looked in the mirror on the inside a little bit? I would say daily we need to take a look at our true self in the mirror according to what the Word says about us. I like how Paul said it in 1 Corinthians. He says, I die daily. He had the right mindset. I understand daily I need to have a reflection of my life and I need to die out daily to myself. Daily I have to come to God and say, God, renew me, refresh me. Whatever is wrong in me today, God, fix it today. Amen. We can get to a habit where we don't do that daily, and I'll pray tomorrow. I don't have time. Now tomorrow comes, I really ain't got time today. I'll pray tomorrow too. Next thing you know, it's been a week, and you really haven't had any prayer time. It's been a week, and you really haven't looked at your Bible or read anything. Or maybe it's now a month, and you haven't really been to church because, you know what, I couldn't make it last Sunday. But you know what, I was too busy to make it Wednesday. We got to check ourselves daily in the mirror. Amen. When we're looking in the mirror of the Word, how well do we line up with the Word and the image of Christ? When we look in the Gospel, I see who I am. Then I see who He is. And once I see who Jesus is, then I can clearly see what He sees that I am. Did you get that? When I finally see who Jesus is and see what the Word says, then I can have a full understanding of what God sees in me. How He sees me. One of my favorite things, and don't hate me for it, but I love VeggieTales. Everyone knows VeggieTales. I probably own about every CD of music of VeggieTales because we used to do children's ministry. We have the DVDs of VeggieTales. I love VeggieTales. I could sing all the songs probably. I know the words of VeggieTales more than most worship songs probably, I could tell you. Well, they got one video. It's called The Snoodles Tale. And it's an awesome movie about God seeing you the way that He sees you. And it's about this little tiny guy that he doesn't really see himself as much. He sees himself really small, imperfect, not really important. And to him, everybody else in the city, they see him the same way. He's insignificant. He's a nobody. He'll never amount to anything. And so distraught, he finally runs away and climbs up to a mountain. And thinking he's all alone because that's where he belongs because it doesn't belong anywhere else. Finally, this old man comes out of the cave and this door where he lives and says, son, what are you doing up here? He says, well, nobody wants me. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. Just look at me. And he had these drawings of how he looked, and it was just small and insignificant. He says, look at these drawings of me. Look how I look. I'm nothing. And the man, who you will later find out is God, grabbed those pictures from him and says, these aren't who you are. This is nothing like you. And he brings him in and says, let me give you a picture of what I see. And so he gives him this new picture of what he sees. And it's him. He's big and strong, huge muscles, a cape like a superhero. He says, that's how I see you. He's like, and this is who you really, truly are. Amen. And that's the way God is with us. We can have days where we feel like we're nothing and we can accomplish anything, but God sees us a lot differently. God sees you as someone that is powerful, someone that is mighty. He's filled you with His Spirit. He went as far as dying on the cross for us. How much He loves us, how much He thinks about us. How can we walk around thinking less? Amen. Realize who you are as a child of God. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is the mirror for our lives. Amen. The world has a mirror problem, you could say. Amen. Just look around you. You can see. Some people need to look in the mirror a little closer. Some people need to stop looking in the mirror, you could probably say. I don't know. I don't get it. I always love youth camp because the guys, we can go in the bathroom, we'll be done in 5 minutes with the mirror, brush our hair, brush our teeth and everything, and the girls are still over there, be 30 minutes, an hour, and like, when did you start getting ready? 2 hours before service. Really? I got ready 5 minutes before service. Some people love that mirror. There's some guys that love that mirror too, though. It takes me a while to get my hair done. It takes a while. Perfection, you know. But the world has a mirror problem. Instead of looking at the Word of God, they look to false teachers and they look to false preachers. They look to Hollywood and they look to Facebook for who they should be and what they should look like. But see, from the time that man and woman broke God's presence and broke fellowship with God in the garden, mankind has always had an identity crisis, had a problem with who they were and what they are. It's nothing new. The ear of man was deceived. The words of Satan convinced him to believe what he would like us to believe. He says that you can do it without God. That's his promise. So you don't need God. You can do it without him. God doesn't really care about you. How many in your life you can admit you felt like that at times when you're at your lowest low and just like, man, where's God? Don't you care about me? I've thought that sometimes. I thought that last couple of years a couple of times. God, where are you? I just really wondering, God, do you still hear me a little bit? Amen. I remember Pastor preached a message that changed my life is sometimes we're too close to the mountain. And that was a life-changing message for me because I realized, you know what? I am too close to the mountain sometimes and I just need to let somebody else pick me up a little bit. But the devil wants you to believe that you don't need God. And the ultimate result of getting in that area is that you start leaving God. You turn around and start drifting away. But it's when we look into the Word of God, that the mirror of God, that we find who we truly are. Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." These are all characteristics of who we are and who we become when we receive Christ, when we are filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in His name. We are given these things. We can achieve these things and live it daily. When people look at us, they ought to see these characteristics in our life. Amen. Can you say that throughout the day and work, through your angry times and through your good times, do people see these in your life? I can say they don't always see them in mine. I'm not always long-suffering. I'm not always lovable. I'm not always peaceable. My wife can tell you. Sometimes I'm grumpy. She'll say most days. But we got to strive for these things. You see, the world will tell you that there is no hope in your life. But when we look in the mirror of the Word, Jesus says in Matthew 19, 26, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." So no matter what we face, you got to have the attitude, I can do all things. I can make it through this obstacle, through this circumstance. It may be a mountain that's too high for you to see over. You may not be able to see through the fog of the valley. But God's already given you a promise that He's going to take you through. Amen? You see, the world will tell you that there's no hope. Moses told God, says, "Who am I? I mean, I'm a nobody. I'm back here, you know, tending to animals. I can't even speak right, God. And you want to use me?" And God says, "You're my man. It doesn't matter. I chose you. You're my man. I can use you with your tongue and everything else and with your stick. I can use you." Gideon told God, says, "I'm just the least of my people. I'm a nobody among everybody. I'm just a little guy. God, no one looks at me as anything. I'm the least of everyone." And God says, "No, that's not what I see." God looks into his heart and says, "I see you as a man of valor." Amen. The way God sees us, the way he sees us reflecting in the mirror. The world says that the church is a minority, but God says we are a chosen people. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That is what God says that we are. See, it all depends on which mirror that you're looking at. It all depends on that. And that has a lot to do with your attitude, because you can have that attitude, and I've said this before, that you can be down on yourself and negative on yourself and speak negative about your life, and that's what you're going to become. Or you can be positive about your life and speak positive about yourself, say, this is who I'm going to be. Amen? I can look in the mirror and say, I'm a nobody, and I'm going to be nothing, and I'll never accomplish anything. Or I can look in the mirror and say, you're going to be somebody for Christ today. You're going to do something great for God today, and I can allow God to use me. Amen. It depends on which mirror that you're looking at, the mirror of the world or the mirror of the Word. Amen. So when we look at the mirror of the Word and truly see who He is, that is when we will truly see who we are. In Matthew 16, verse 13 through 19, we know this very well. We've heard it a lot. Peter asked a question. Well, Jesus asked Peter a question. Says, whom do men say that I am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elias. Some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter, the bold one, of course, he stood up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. See, it was when Peter looked and truly saw who Jesus was that in return Jesus showed Peter who he was. See, Peter, in his mind, he was still just an old fisherman trying to figure out what he was doing with his life. He was still trying to figure out where he belonged in the order and the pattern of God and his people. He didn't really know where he stood in line with the disciples. But once he had that revelation and he spoke up and says, God, I know who you are. And he proclaimed who he was. God says, well, this is who you are and this is what your purpose is. Amen? If you're searching for purpose tonight, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror of the Word. If you're searching for answers in your life tonight, you can find it in the mirror of the Word. If you're looking for your identity tonight, you can find it in the Word of God. You don't need to look no further. You're not going to find it in some magazine. You're not going to find it on the billboard. Amen. You can read some self-help books, and it may have some good pointers and some good ideas on your life, but you're not going to find your God-given purpose unless you get into the Word of God. Amen. The mirror says a lot of things about us. The mirror says in Romans 8 and 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8 and 37, the mirror says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that love us. Colossians 2 and 10, the mirror says, and ye are complete in Him which is the head of all principality and power. The mirror says in Ephesians 2 and 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Not bad works, but good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. My favorite scripture on pretty much in the Bible about Deuteronomy 28 and 13 says, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Amen. You got to look into the mirror to find your purpose and find who you are. You want to know what you have to do in life, look in the mirror. You want to know what God thinks about you, look into the mirror, amen. The mirror is where you find your purpose. In our text that I read, we'll go back to it. Paul didn't see anything at first. He was just going down a dirty road thinking he was doing the right thing. But when Jesus finally came around and shined a light on him, he finally saw who Jesus was. No doubt he knew who he was, because after he hit the ground, the first word says, who art thou, Lord? He didn't say, what is that? Who is that? No, he understood. That's God. Who art thou, Lord? Paul didn't see his purpose and find his purpose until he truly saw Jesus. I would say tonight that we have not reached our full potential in our life. None of us have made it in this place tonight. I have not made it in my life. I'm still obtaining what God has for me. But we have to continue to reach. We have to continue to seek what God has. And let me tell you, God has more in store for you in your life. God has more in store for your family and this church. Amen. I've said it before. I feel like there's a wave of revival coming for this city like we've never seen before. Amen. We're in this building, and it's not going to be long until we're going to be going to two services. Amen. God's getting ready to do something. These services we've been having lately, God has been showing up like he's never showed up before. We've been feeling God like we've never felt him before in this place. Amen. He's going to do something in our lives, and God is going to show us something that we've never seen before. Amen. So God didn't call us to be pew sitters. He called us to be soul winners. He didn't call us to be slaves and prisoners to this world and bound to this world. He called us to be kings and priests. He didn't call us to be silent and lifeless and to keep our mouths shut when the world is going down and going to this worst place. He called us to be warriors of the word and to stand up for Christ. Amen. It's time that we can stand up for his word. We have to stand up and proclaim who Jesus is and what his purpose is. That is our purpose. Our purpose is to go into the highways and the hedges. We are to go out and compel them to come in into this place that it is full. Do you know your purpose tonight? Do you know who you are in Christ tonight? Amen? Have you really truly considered lately what your purpose is? We all have an identity in Christ. We all have a calling in Christ. Amen. Not all of us are called to be preachers. Not all of us will be called to be teachers or singers. But have you really evaluated where you stand in God? So God still has a purpose for you. You may be thinking right now, well, I really haven't done much. I really don't know where I belong, but think about it. God still has a purpose for you. It doesn't matter if you're 2 years old, doesn't matter if you're 90 years old. God has a purpose for your life. Amen. Stand with me tonight. So do you truly understand the plan that God has for your life? I say this because I look at my life when I was going through this, and I think about how many missed opportunities I've had in my life to do something for God because I didn't truly know where I stood. Because I truly didn't know what God's plan was for my life. I truly didn't understand it. And there may have been people that I should have witnessed to that I didn't because I didn't know where I was and who I was. There could have been situations that I could have changed the situation and saw a miracle take place in a situation. But because I didn't know what I was capable of, I didn't intervene and do anything. And so I look at my life and say, how many missed opportunities have I had? And I ask you the same question in your life. Do you truly know what God has called you to do? Do you truly know tonight what your purpose is in this church? Not this city. Not in this world in general, but in this church body, what is your purpose in this church? Where do you fit in? Where can you get plugged in? What can you do to make this church the revival church that God has set forth for us to be? Are you doing everything you can to fulfill that purpose? I decided a long time ago that I'm not just going to do this half-hearted. I'm going to give it everything I got, just like the arm. I'm going to be all I can be. I want to do everything I can for Christ. I want to reach my full potential in my life. I want to see God's hand move in my life and use me in every way he can. I told God, I want to be the vessel that you can use. God, because if you can use anybody, I know you can use me. And I want to be that vessel. Lord, if you're going to pick somebody to pour out your spirit with, God, I said, God, let it be me. God, if there's going to be someone that you're going to send a witness to that person, God, let it be me. God, if there's something that you need done in someone's life, Lord, use me to speak to them, God. I want to fulfill his purpose tonight. Amen. I think that's what we all want in our lives. We want to fulfill God's purpose. We want to be vessels that God can truly use and freely use in our life. So evaluate yourself, amen. Think about your life and your mind. And if you haven't asked it in a while, ask God tonight, God, what is my purpose? God, just renew your purpose in me tonight. God, remind me of who you say that I am. Remind me of how you see me. Not as who I see me in the mirror, but God, let me see myself as you see me. And let me see my purpose as you see it tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we just raise our hands right now and just talk to him? God, I just thank you, Jesus. God, that you are worthy of all the praise. God, that I love you, Lord, with all my heart and mind tonight. God, I just ask you, God, bring me back to the place, Lord, where I knew my purpose. God, bring me back to the place, Lord, where I first felt you, God. Lord, renew your spirit in my heart and mind tonight, Jesus. God, remind me, Jesus, of who I am in you, God. Lord, I want to be everything that I can. Lord, I want to do everything that I can for you, Jesus. God, make this vessel clean, God. Lord, that I ask right now, Jesus, if there's any unclean thing in this vessel, Lord. God, if there's anything in this vessel that don't belong, God, that's hindering me, God, from being used in your service, God, Lord, take it out. God, burn this vessel out. Burn every impurity out right now in the name of Jesus. God, burn every impurity out of my mind, out of my heart right now, Lord. God, let us be clean tonight, Jesus. Lord, wash us tonight, God. Lord, refire us tonight, Jesus. Lord, let a passion burn inside of us like we've never had. God, we want to be used for you, Jesus. God, open our minds to understand what you would have. God, let us see your vision. Let us see your purpose, God. Lord, as it is in heaven, God, we want it to be done on earth, Lord. We ask it in your mighty name, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.